This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I've been in a vein in my own life, just kind of reading through the Gospels and what it is to be following Jesus. And I'm going to touch on something I spoke about a couple of weeks ago and go from there, and what it is to be following Jesus. A lot of us are following Jesus and we feel like we're following Jesus and we're following the rules that go with Christianity. And my question to you tonight is, are you following where Jesus is going in your life? This is not just words in a book. This is an intimate relationship with God. He's a living God who wants to lead and guide me in truth, that I can hear his voice and no other voice do I choose to follow, and he leads me and guides me in truth. And where his spirit is, there's liberty and freedom, and I want to live in that liberty and freedom. And he's got a great plan for you. He's got a future and a hope that he's called you to. And my question to you tonight is, are you following Jesus in your life? Are you being led by the Spirit of God in your life? And so I want to give you a chance. I'm going to ask you a few questions tonight, and I want you to simply take survey in your own life, in your own heart tonight, as far as where you're at in this. Maybe there's some, and I hope to, as you're evaluating your own heart and evaluating what's going on in your life, and you answer these questions, hopefully we can uncover something that will set you free or set you up to go and get what God has for you. And so my first question for you tonight is very, very simple. What's holding you back? And it's a pretty common question that you would hear when you come to church, but what's holding you back from following Jesus? In Luke chapter 18, there's the story of the blind beggar, and this is where I say I'm touching on something I hit on a couple of weeks ago, but I want to expound on it for just a moment, because the story of a blind beggar, and the man is blind, and he is begging, and he's sitting on the side of the road, okay? He cannot see, and he's come to the point now where he is begging for help, for financial help to accommodate this handicap or this difficulty, this adversity in his life. This perhaps, it's a physical handicap, but my question to you is, what is it in your life that is keeping you from being able to see or function at the way God's designed you or intended you to be able to design and function? Perhaps it's some sort of stronghold in the way you think because somebody told you something when you were a kid and it's how you've always believed. Maybe it's a fear and insecurity about who you are. Maybe it's a lack of discipline or a laziness or a procrastination that you've just, it's become a dominant force in your life, that it's something that keeps you from fulfilling maybe the plan or purpose that God has for you. It's something that's holding you back. And where I'm going with this is simple. This blind beggar is sitting on the side of the road, and he hears the crowd coming by, this big throng of people, and he hears the crowd. He says, hey, what's going on? Who's coming? What's happening? What's going on? And they said, well, Jesus is coming by. And the Bible says that it doesn't say the word immediately, but it says he jumped up and began shouting for Jesus, shouting to get Jesus' attention. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He immediately, when he hears that Jesus is coming, he jumps to his feet and he starts screaming and shouting to get Jesus' attention. Why would he do that? Because he knew this was his opportunity. He knew this was his chance. And he began screaming, Jesus, 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 woo, 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 Jesus, look at me, woo, Jesus, have mercy on me. He did everything he could do to get his attention. And people go, hey, whoa, 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 bro, calm down, man. Jesus is walking. There's a lot of people here. You're causing a scene, all that stuff. Whatever they would have said, they're trying to shut him down. They're trying to tell him to be quiet. Hey, bro, wait your turn. If he wants to come talk to you, he'll come talk to you, right? He wasn't going to accept that. He begins shouting even louder. Jesus, Jesus, woo, Jesus, I need you, Jesus, look at me. Have mercy on me, Jesus. And he can't see, so he doesn't know where he's yelling. Jesus, Jesus, please, Jesus. He's trying to get attention, trying to get attention, trying to get his attention, until finally the Bible says that Jesus heard him and he stopped. That's pretty easy. Jesus heard him and he stopped. And the Bible says he ordered the man to come to him. He was crying out with passion, trying to get Jesus' attention because he wanted something. This was his moment. This was his chance. And here's the reality. Jesus would have passed on by. This guy wasn't going to let him pass by. He was not going to let him get by because the man was fed up. He was sick and tired of living this way. And my question to you is this, what have you accepted in your life? What have you been tolerating in your life? That, listen, the blind beggar, the blind man was blind. So what he did is he started looking for other people to help facilitate him, or he started building his life around this shortcoming in his life. And we have this thing in our life that we've kind of gotten used to. Maybe you've been dealing with it for 5 years or since you were a kid, and you've gotten used to it, and you just kind of start looking for other people to facilitate in spite of your shortcoming. And my question is to you, when are we gonna get fed up with that thing in your life? When are you gonna realize that Jesus is passing by and I don't have to live with this anymore? What's holding you back from being able to go where Jesus is going? Because the man shouted until Jesus heard him. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped. He demanded the guy come here and he asked him, he said, what do you want? It seems obvious to you and me what the man would want. And here's what's funny is, you and I probably would have asked for something like this. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, there's a really good school for the blind I'd like to get into. It's really hard to get into, and you've got to have a lot of recommendations and favor, and I would really love to have prayer that I would that I could get into this great school. Or we probably would ask for something like this. Well, you know, it'd really be great if I could just, you know, have a $1,000 check or $1 million check so that I don't have to sit here on the side of the road and beg for money. We would ask for something like that, but the man said, I want to see. I want something substantial change in my life. And the Bible said, you have it. Or Jesus said, you have it. He said, your faith has made you whole. You believe that I could help you to the point that you made enough ruckus to get my attention? You got it. Receive your sight. The man could instantly see. And the Bible says that he was praising God and then followed Jesus. He went with Jesus. He saw supernatural exploits and supernatural wonders and miraculous things. He was able to walk and go with Jesus, which started this whole process for me in my life. It's like, am I going where Jesus is going in my life? Or is there something in your life or in my life that is keeping me from being able to go where Jesus is wanting to go or take me? Am I missing out on things because I'm sitting on the side of the road accepting what this thing is in my life, this stronghold, this fear, this issue, this insecurity, this doubt, this whatever it is in your life? I trust that God's going to open it up to you. Maybe it's a way of that you see money or how you spend money or I don't know what it is, but something where you just think this is how I am and who I am. So you build your life around it, but it's keeping you from where God's going. And when he said, what do you want? He said, I want to see. I want to see. I don't want stuff. I don't want super things. I want to be changed. I want to be different. I'm tired of living this way. And when you get fed up and you get sick and you get tired of it, and you to the point that I'm going to go get what's mine, that man walking down the street can heal me. He can change my life. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get his attention. I'm not going to stop screaming. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the circumstances are around me. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care how I appear. I don't care what I look like. I am sick and tired of living with this thing in my life, and I'm going to get rid of it. What do you want? I want to see. I want to be free. I want to be strong. I want to be courageous. I want to be fearless. I want to be organized. I want to be in order. I want to be a good steward of my finances. I want to be disciplined. I want to be healthy. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? What is it in your life that's holding you back from being able to go where God's going or wants to go in your life? I want to be free. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from going where Jesus is going? My second question would be this: what's your motivation? What motivates you about following Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? What are you wanting from Jesus? And I'm kind of going to a second question here. I want you to evaluate. I hope to hit a nerve with somebody. It may be something different for every person here, but why are we following Jesus? You know, it's funny because in John chapter 1, here's Jesus, and let me back up. There's John the Baptist. How many of you guys know who John the Baptist is? John the Baptist was actually Jesus' cousin, and he was pretty remarkable. You talk about a man that did his job right. Like, there's not a lot of talk about John the Baptist, but John's whole job was to announce that Jesus was coming. That was his job. This culture had been waiting for the Messiah to come. They'd been waiting. They'd been taught since they were a little kid that there was one who was coming who was going to be the Savior of the world. And John's whole job was to prep the people and saying, look, the guy is about to get here. He's about to arrive. He's on his way. His entire job was to create attention and to get the attention of people and to announce to the world that Jesus is coming. He said, I baptize with water, but there's one who's coming who's going to baptize with fire, who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He said, and every time they'd come to him, in fact, there were these assistants to the religious leaders, and they came to John the Baptist, who wasn't even at the Jordan River baptized at the time. He was over in this other village, and they said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He said, no. Messiah's coming. Well, are you Elijah? I mean, are you Moses? Like, who are you? Who are you? Where you come from? And he said, I'm just a voice. I love that. That's what John said. I'm just a voice. My job is just to communicate that the Messiah is coming. They said, well, what right do you have to be baptized? Like, they're trying to figure out who John the Baptist is. This dude was causing a ruckus, making people, and he's saying, look, Jesus is coming. There's the Messiah's coming. And here's Jesus, or John the Baptist. And he's got a couple of disciples. He's got disciples that followed him, right? And everything he's been doing announcing is that Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Let me get a little help. Glenn, can you come help me for a second? Joel, come help me. Okay, so I'm going to be John the Baptist for just a second. I hope you can get a visual. Come on up. I hope you can get a visual for what I'm talking about because, Glenn, you're going to be Jesus, okay? Those are big sandals to feel. Can you handle it, bro? Okay, my man, okay? And this is Joel. Joel's like, he's like one of the disciples of John the Baptist. And so Jesus goes walking by, and John the Baptist for his entire life had been prepping the congregation, the people, that the Messiah was coming. And the Messiah starts walking up, and the Bible says that John did like this. He goes, look, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look. That's the one I've been talking about. He's here. They've been waiting their entire life for this man to show up. My whole job for years had been to say that this man is coming. Look, he's here. The next day, they're hanging out, and Jesus walks by again. And Andrew was one of the disciples that ended up following Jesus. He was with John the Baptist first. And Jesus walked by again. He goes, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew looked at John. He said, hey, it's been a good ride, John. I'm going with him. And he went and he just started following Jesus. That's exactly what it says in John chapter 1. It says that he turned and he began to follow Jesus. He'd been following John the Baptist for months, years, whatever it was. John the Baptist did his job so well that when Jesus came walking by, he said, look, there he is. Andrew said, John, high five, buddy. It's been a good ride. I'm going with that guy. I'm going with him. He's here. I'm going with him. Thanks, guys. And here's my question for you. What motivates you? What was your motivation? Because listen to what Andrew said. Andrew left John the Baptist. He goes, hey, John, thanks, man. It's been a fun ride. I'm going with Jesus. And he goes with Jesus. And the Bible says this in John chapter 1. It says that Jesus was walking, and listen, he was walking by again. Here is Jesus walking by again, and Andrew starts following him. He starts following him. And the Bible, this is so crazy to me. In John chapter 1, the Bible says Jesus noticed that they were following him. It's kind of like in the movies, you know, when they're like, hey, man, somebody's following us in the car, right? When you know somebody's trailing you. Like Jesus is aware that they're trailing him. They're following him. And he goes, hey, what do you guys want? There's the question again. What do you guys want? Why are you following me? And Andrew's response was this. He goes, hey, where are you staying at tonight? He said, well, I don't get it. What's the big deal? He didn't say anything he wanted. He said, where are you staying at? I don't want anything. I'm going wherever you're going. I don't want anything. I just want to go wherever you're going. And you know what his response was? Come and see. He didn't say, well, I got a little cabin over here. I'm staying with my friend Johnny. I think he's got an extra bedroom. Let me call ahead and see if he's got a spot for you. Okay? He didn't say anything like that. He said, come and see. Come and see. And later, at one point, he said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. He just said, come and see. So Andrew and the other disciple go, and they spend the day with Jesus. They spent the day with him. And after spending the day with him, Andrew leaves and goes to get Simon Peter. He says, hey, he's here, bro. The Messiah is here. Jesus is here. The guy that we've been waiting for to show up, the Savior of the world, is here. And he goes and he says, Peter, come and see for yourself. Peter comes. The first thing Jesus does, he says, hey, your name's Simon. I'm changing your name to Peter. That's what we've got to do is bring people in. If Jesus has made himself real in your life, it's not what can I get out of it? What's in it for me? What do you want? I just want to go wherever you're going. My motive is to be where you're at. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to hang out with you. I just want to be wherever you are. You're going left, I want to go left. You're going right, I want to go right. You're going to that village, I'm going with you. I just want to go wherever you're going. What's in it for me? I just want to be where you're at because all my needs are met when I'm with you. All that I have need of is with you. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my salvation. My hope is in you. My dependence is in you. I just want to be wherever you are. I'll tell you a real funny story. It's kind of humbling, but when I moved here in May of 2003, I remember I had some situations at home and some stuff at home that it was hard for me to leave. I grew up in Southeast Missouri. I've been there my whole life. And I remember moving here, and I knew that moving here because I knew a few guys going the direction I wanted to go with my life. And I remember thinking, if I get around these guys, then my life will go this direction. But it wasn't an easy decision because I left everything I knew. I left all of my family, and my brother just got married, had a little girl, had my niece, and then they just had their son, it was my nephew, and I was gonna miss them growing up, and I was gonna miss being around my family and all that stuff. I was leaving them, and I knew in my heart that I was never going to live there again. And I'm moving to Tulsa, and I don't know what I'm moving to. I didn't know really anything about Guts Church. I had no intentions to come and be on staff here. I sure didn't visualize myself getting to do this 11 years later. I'm driving here because I just want my life to go this direction. And I know that I know that I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing at this particular moment. But I'm listening to this song, and I don't remember if it's Ray Bolts or Daryl Evans or something. Yeah, like nobody, either you're laughing or you don't know what I'm talking about. And no disrespect, fellas, if you're watching. I doubt they're watching. And I'm listening to the song, and the song was called Heaven Is My Home. And it was like, it was a hard thing. And I'm being emotional. I'm crying. My car's full of stuff, and I'm driving here, and I'm crying, and I'm listening to the song, and I'm crying. I'm going, oh, God, Poplar Bluff, Missouri is not my home. Tulsa, Oklahoma is not my home. You're my home. I want to be wherever you are. And I just remember this, but it was this resolve in my heart where it's like, I just want to be wherever you are. And I knew at this particular moment, it was Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm not telling you that God's going to want you to move or move away. I'm just saying, where is he going in your life? I want to be wherever he's at, because where he is, I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be fulfilled. I'm going to have everything I need of. I don't have to want anything from him. I just simply want to be wherever he's at. Where are you staying at tonight? Because wherever you're going is where I want to go. And my question would be, what motivates you? What's your drive? What's holding you back? And then what motivates you? If we can get to a place where I just want to be where he's at, that pure in heart, the Bible says the pure in heart will see God, that you'll be able to experience God and know God in a way that you've never seen him before. And my third question is simply this: can you endure a difficulty on this journey of following Jesus? Can you endure a difficulty? Because again, I'm going past just your basic church attendance, just the basic rules of being a good person, being a Christian. I'm talking about, I want to be spirit-led. I want to fulfill the call of God in my life. I want to be the man or the woman of God that he's called me to be. I want to live the life that God has. I want to be led by his voice. I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to go where he's going. And my question for you is simply this: can you endure a difficulty? And I know that sounds like, well, what do you mean? Well, in John chapter 6, here are these disciples that follow Jesus. They go where Jesus goes. And there was a group of people that came to where Jesus was, and they were looking to be where Jesus was. They looked for him, they go here, and he wasn't there, and they went over this village, and they found him, and there he was. And he said, you're only coming to find me because I fed you. You want me to feed you again. You're looking at it on this one-dimensional surface. You're looking at it on this natural surface. And he said, you just want to be here because I fed you. And he said, don't be so concerned with the cares of life. Don't be so concerned with the stuff. He said, be more passionate, be more energetic about pursuing the life that I have for you, because that's why I'm here. That's the purpose that I have for you. And they said, well, what do you mean? What do you want? What does God want us to do? What are you talking about? And he begins to drop this bomb on them. And he begins to talk about that he's the bread of life, that he's the bread from heaven, that he's the bread of life. And they start going, what, the bread of life? What are you talking about? And they said, well, Moses we want to see miracles. Like Moses had manna from heaven. He had bread come down from heaven. We want to see some miracles. FYI, they just saw him feed 5,000 people. He's just walked on the water. He's been healing folks, but they're demanding more miracles. I want to see more miracles. I want to see something. I want to see it, because it's all very one-dimensional. And he says, I want to see some miracles. Moses had bread from heaven. He said, look, you're not going to get bread from heaven from me. I'm the bread from heaven. I'm the bread of life. And they're going, huh? What are you talking about? And he proceeds to go on. He says, look, I'm the bread of heaven. He said, you're going to eat my flesh, and you've got to drink my blood. And these guys are going, huh? I mean, how would you be responding? Let's think about it for just a moment, okay? If I come up here and I was telling you that kind of stuff right now, they're going, that's pretty hard. That's pretty hard to grasp, right? I mean, what do you mean like right now? Right? What are you talking about? Is there enough to go around? I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking, but it's like, that's hard. That's hard to understand. And he proceeds to tell them that people that eat of my flesh and drink of my blood are going to have eternal life. And it's very, very difficult for them to get it. And the Bible says this in John chapter 6. It says that even his disciples, people that were following Jesus, people that were walking with Jesus, even his disciples said, this is very hard. That's toughie. This is very hard. This is hard to get. I'm not sure I get what he's saying. And Jesus turned to me and said, does this offend you? Are you offended? Is this because you don't get it? Are you taking offense to this? Is this too much for you? And the Bible says that many of them who followed him, they turned and they abandoned him and they left. It was too hard. It was too difficult. And my question would be, has anything ever happened in your life where you just didn't really understand why it happened to you? Has anything ever happened to you in your life where you're like, I don't get that. I don't get why this happened. I don't get how this works in my life. I don't understand how these pieces go together today. This is a difficult thing for me to understand. And many people that have ever came across that path where they kind of bumped their head on something have turned and went the other direction. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, hey, are you guys going to go too? He kind of gave an invitation. Like, hey, if you're offended, if it's too hard for you, you can go with those guys. Are you going to go? And they said, you're the Christ. Peter looked at me and said, you're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. You're the one that my brother came to get me because you were here. I've seen you. I've seen what you've done. I've heard what you said. You're the anointed one. You're the one from God. Only you have words of eternal life. You have the words of life. I'm not going anywhere. I don't understand it. Peter didn't say, oh, yeah, I get it. I kind of get it. He said, look, where else am I going to go? Only you have the words of life. And my question would be, can you endure a difficulty? Can you, how committed are you? Because when you come across something, you sit in church long enough, you're like, I don't know if I understand how that works. Maybe something happened in your life that you don't understand. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe there was a sickness or disease that you've had to deal with in your life. Maybe there was something that you thought was supposed to happen, you were expecting to happen, and it didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, the way you thought it would happen, and it was a little bit difficult to understand. And did you turn and walk away? Or maybe you're going through one of those things right now where you're just, I don't know why I'm going. I don't know if this is real. I don't know if I understand this. I don't know if I get it. This is hard. I try to read the Bible. I don't know if I get it. It's hard. It's hard to get it. I don't understand why, how this fits together. This is hard to understand. But if you have the resolve that Peter had said, no, these are the words of life. I know these are the words of life. I don't right now, I don't get what you're saying, Jesus. I don't know that I understand about eating your flesh and drinking your blood, but I know that you're the eternal one. I know that you're the savior of the world, and I'm motivated to be wherever you are, and I don't want anything holding me back from wherever you're going, and I don't really get it, but I know that I will get it, and I know that you're the Christ, and you're the anointed one, and I'm not going anywhere else because you alone have words of life. You alone have words of life, and I'm not going anywhere. I can endure this. And let me help you with something. It took a couple of years. I don't know how much time passed before the crucifixion happened, but let me tell you something. When that resurrection happened and then the day of Pentecost happened, let me tell you something. It all came together for Peter. On that day, it was a pretty hard thing to process. And it took a couple of years maybe to get to the point where it all made sense, to where, man, Jesus died on that cross and he had to endure all that emotion and all that confusion and everything that went with it, where it's like, wait a minute, I gave my life to this for 3 years and now he's gone. Don't you think that had to be difficult in that moment? Man, here he is thinking, what? And then the resurrection has happened and Jesus makes himself appear to him. And then he tells him to go wait in a room. And 40 days later, the power of the Holy Spirit lands on his life and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, to where he's now preaching to thousands and thousands of people. It all came together. I get it. He wasn't talking about literally eating his body and drinking his blood. He was simply talking about who he was and digesting his word and getting it in me and consuming myself with who he is. That these are the words of life. I'm going to get them in me. I'm going to be committed to it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to believe it. You know what's crazy to me? We read the word and we know, for anybody who's been in church for a long time, we know these principles. We know these promises. And I hate to say it like this, but a lot of times it becomes just more knowledge for us. And we never quite translate it into action and who we are in Christ. We get excited about the idea of a promise that all of my needs are met, that he is my provision, but we never quite translate it into action. When I say that whether I abase or abound, is what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, and we go, yes, but then then we get over here and life hits and my situation, whether I'm a base or I bound, whether things are going well or not, that mindset of going, I'm going to continue to press on because I'm an overcomer. That idea that I'm an overcomer, I can say it, that the Bible says that I'm an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and I understand why I'm an overcomer, but I'd never get to where I'm here, and I live as an overcomer, overcoming obstacles and applying it, identifying that I am an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We've got to get to the point where we take this word of God, that we're so committed to it that it gets in us, and we get it to where the point that we identify with it and act on it. That I'm motivated to be wherever you are. This is your word. I want to go where your word. I'm not just reading your word for knowledge. I'm reading it for direction and counsel and guidance. I want revelation of who you are. God, show me who you are. I want to know who you are because I want to be the fulfilled in knowing who you are. I want you to fill my heart and my life. I want less of me and more of you. I want to decrease that you may increase. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I got to pick up my cross and die daily and go where he's going. And to do that, I have to hear and go that knowledge, but I've got to get it to the point that I identify and see myself that way, that all of my needs are met according to his riches and glory. They are. I have all of my needs are met, so I will press on. I am an overcomer, so I will press on. Because people listen to motivational speakers, right? We get motivational speakers who are really talking in principle about the promises of God. But when you hear the promises of God, sometimes it just becomes knowledge. And I want to go where Jesus is going. I want to be the kind of people that we're not taking no for an answer. That we are getting up and we are going to get after today. And yes, some days are better than other days. But we do win every day. I am a winner. I see myself as a winner. I'm not a procrastinator. I got to get fed up with not being able to see. I want to be able to see. I'm fed up with being a procrastinator. I'm fed up with being unorganized. I'm fed up with being undisciplined. I'm fed up with having no peace in my marriage. I'm going to put my hand to it and I'm going to fix it because whatever I put my hand to, I will prosper. But a lot of times we're reading these promises and we're waiting for God to just do them for us. Let me connect the dots. When the Bible says that the battle belongs to the Lord, that he fights your battles, that he's already won this battle, he has. He's already given you the victory, but you've got to lay hold of it. You've got to go grab it. You've got to put your hand to the plow and not look back. You've got to put your hand to something because that's where it prospers at. You've got to think like a Christian. You've got to think like a man or a woman of God who's in right standing with God, that I am seated at the right hand of God and all authority now is under my feet too. No weapon formed against me can prosper. It can't have control in my life. I'm in control. I'm in control on this earth. God gave me dominion. But we are sitting around getting kicked and punched and getting slapped and accepting it. And then we sit on the side of the road, start begging and want other people to compensate for our shortcomings. God has already saved your life. He's already won the victory for you. He's already put you out in front. But you don't see yourself as the one who's out in front. And you're motivated because you want stuff. You're asking, when God says, what do you want? You're saying, I want this or I want that. No, I want to see. No, I just want to go where you're going. I want to be able to see so I can go where you're going. I don't understand everything that you're doing. I don't know why we're going to this village, but I'm going. I don't understand what it means, what you just said, that revelation, but I know it'll become a revelation for me one day. I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed. I'm going to endure it. You've fallen down, get up. Well, I've fallen down more than once. Get up again. You don't understand. It's been a long struggle in my life. I gain weight, I lose weight. I gain weight, I lose weight. Hello? I got you. You don't understand, it's a weakness for me. It's an addiction for me. It's sugar, it's alcohol, it's drug. Get over it. You're free. You are free. Say it, I am free. You are free. What do you want to do? You think you're strapped to this job. You're not. You think you're strapped to this situation or this is the way you are. It's not. God saved you from and he saved you to. He saved you from sin, sickness, death, hell, the grave, and all the junk that goes with it. But he saved you to heaven on earth. And we love the idea of that. We love that idea. But we never grab a hold of it. We never apply it. And you say, well, what does that look like? It looks like this. It looks like when you get up in the morning, you say it over your life, but I don't feel like it is raining. Great. Today's the day the Lord made. I choose to rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's your choice to get up tomorrow and rejoice. It's your choice to rejoice. You know what I'm saying? It's your choice to rejoice. You've got to get up and do it. You get up tomorrow and say, God's mercies are new today. Man, do you understand what that means? That means today you're not going to get what you deserve. you're already out in front. Not only am I not going to get what I deserve because his mercies are new, but his grace is sufficient in my life that puts me out in front. His favor, his power, and his strength. And you say, well, there's healing in my hands and salvation in my lips. We love that idea. Put it into action. Everything I will touch will prosper. I bring life everywhere I go. His favor's around me. It's a shield around me. Well, they didn't seem like it was very favorable because they didn't receive me very well. They spoke kind of rude to me. Great. Great. Is God leading you? Is God guiding you? Is God in front of you? Yes. Is God going to open doors? No making shut. Does God make ways in the wilderness? Does God make your crooked path straight? Does God deliver the righteous from every affliction? Yes. So they spoke rude to you. So what? So what? God is bigger than that. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it beat you up. Don't let it wear you down. Get up and go take what belongs to yours. Take the hill, take the mountain. I've said it in here before. God told Joshua one thing. He said, be strong and courageous. That's it. Be strong and courageous. There's giants in the land. I know. There's big fortified city walls. I know. There's everything that you want, that you're hoping for in that land. It's yours, but there's this huge opposition there. Here's the only thing I need you to do, Joshua. I just need you to be strong and courageous and obey me, follow my leading, and I will do something awesome in spite of what you see. I will deliver you. I will give you that land. It is yours. And the question for you tonight is, what is yours? What is rightfully belong to yours? And what are you sick and tired of living with that's keeping you from living in that promised land? That's what he said in John chapter 6. Go back and read it for yourself. He said, you're just following me because you want food. And he said, don't put all your energy in seeking those things. Put your energy in seeking the eternal life, the Zoe life, the abundant life, the life that I have for you. Seek that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto you. Be passionate about walking and living on earth as the man or woman of God he's called you to be. Man, don't let the world wear you down or talk you out of it. And that's what happens all the time. We just simply fall for it. We simply fall for it, and it becomes our mindset and how we think that this is just how I am. This is my lot in life. This is what it is. I'm stuck working with this person the rest of my life. They're always complaining. There's always negative. They don't see the great things that I'm about. I guess I'll always be doing this. No, what do you want to do? What's in your heart to do? Go do it. Go do it. Let's quit sitting around and waiting for it to drop gold nuggets on our lap in here. God's already put the gold nugget in your heart. It's already yours. Go get it. There was copper in the hills in that promised land. All they had to do was go take the land, and then they had to work the land and go get what was in the land for them. It's yours for the taking if you simply have enough strength and enough courage to be obedient. So my questions for you tonight are, A, what's holding you back? What is that thing in you when Jesus says, that what do you want? This is what I want. I don't want to be fearful anymore. I've had a stronghold of just procrastinating and waiting until tomorrow to do it. I've had a deal of worry, man. I worry about everything. I'm anxious. I have anxiety. Maybe you talk like that. Don't own it. I don't have anxiety. I deal with it. Anxiety tries to take from me. What is the thing that you just accept and say, well, I have anxiety. I have fear. I have worry. Somebody told you when you were a kid that you weren't smart enough, so you're not smart enough. So you don't apply yourself. You can't say I'm not good at math because you're not putting in the work, because you just believe, you already believe that you're not good at it, so you don't even try to learn it. You're not even trying to learn the new craft because somebody said that you couldn't do it or whatever it was. Quit accepting that. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from going where Jesus wants to take you? And again, what he paid a huge price to save you to. And it's not motivated by the stuff. It's not because I want the stuff. I want to live in that liberty and that freedom with which he saved me to.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.